Hello, what's going on? What's going on? This is Ola. My name is Ola, coming to you live today. We're talking about flipping houses for dummies. Flipping houses for dummies. That's what we're talking about. I'm gonna have some time. Hopefully you have some time if this is something you want to learn. Essentially, why should you learn flipping houses? Okay, flipping house. Let me first of all tell you why you should learn flipping houses. Essentially, every time you flip a house, you can make 10, 20, 30, 40 $1,000 per deal. My highest I've made is $82,000. I've done it 40 times plus, and you can learn one thing. The concept is basically the same thing, all right? But today, what I want to do is I want to take some time to explain. If I remember some stories, I'll tell you some stories. But it's a pretty fun thing, okay? If you make it fun, it can also become very, very complicated. Okay, it can become a very complicated thing. But before we get into how it's done, how do you flip houses in your backyard? Because somebody is doing it. Okay, every time you see a sign in the yard, and somebody's trying to sell a house, or somebody's moving, or somebody moved out of state, or you see an abandoned house, or you see houses that's boarded up with a big wood on the window, somebody's making a couple of tens of thousands of dollars every time. On an average, every time the deed, which is the title of the property, transfer hands, and you can learn that. Okay, you can learn that. It's very simple. You don't need to go to college to learn how to do that. You don't need big capital to invest. You don't need a good credit to participate in making profit in this activity. Anyone essentially can do that. Okay, so with that being said, I have about 45 minutes to burn here. We're gonna have some fun, okay? So the first thing I want to do is I want to switch screens over so you can see my screen, and then I can tell you a couple of resources that I have available for you. First of all, I do make some cold calls on these sessions. I'm not gonna do that today. I will start that back on Wednesday. So I will do that on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, 3 days a week. I do it right now. Next week sounds like I'm gonna do it at 4:30 p.m. All right. But what I usually do is I spend the first 15 to 30 minutes to share a new knowledge about this. Then I go into cold calling. Now, cold calling is not something that I enjoy. Okay, I don't necessarily enjoy doing it, but I do it because I'm here with you. I'm hanging out. I get to talk to prospects. But we get to feel on the pulse of the market and see what people are saying. And you understand why once I explain what flipping houses entails in a second, okay? But where I want you to go right now, if you hate the idea of cold calling people, like calling strangers to see if they want to sell their house, if you hate that and you'd rather use a higher advanced automated leveraged technology, then you definitely want to go grab my book. It's a free book, okay? It's a free book at myempirepro.com, and also in addition to that, you're gonna have access to a free seven videos course, right? That will teach you exactly how to use the technology of today, internet age, on how to use that. Okay, if you like the idea of cold calling, the system that I use is called Red X, and you can access that at myempirepro.com/redx. But today I'm not going to be cold calling. Okay, I just want to spend some 45 minutes with you and see if I can answer a few questions. We're going to go around YouTube too and see if we can grab a few questions and answer your questions as well too. All right. So what is flipping houses? It sounds exactly like that. Okay. What is flipping houses? Flipping houses simply means you're able to buy a house at a lower price and you're able to sell it at a higher price. At the very basic core of the definition, don't forget, I'm about to switch screens over to my face because so you can see my face as I'm talking. Go to myempirepro.com to get the free book, okay? Now, essentially, you buy a house, okay, at the lower cost and you sell it higher. And that's flipping house. And you want to do that in a compressed time, as much compressed time as possible. In other words, if you could do that in 1 minute, in 1 second, you want to do it as fast as possible. And then you want to make some profit and go home, okay? So essentially, when I told you I've done it 40 times, literally all within 5 to 10 minutes, I buy a house low, I sell it high, okay? And How am I able to do that? I'm able to do that because I got very, very good at finding and identifying deals. Okay. So there's this guy over here. His name is, let's call him B, right? And there's this guy over here. His name is A. And my name is Ola, right? So very simply, B is looking to buy properties at 70 to 75%, 70 to 75% of its value. They want pretty much between 25 to 30% discount on a property that, for whatever reason, they just want 25 to 35%. So for every $100,000 house, they would like to buy it for $70,000 to $75,000. Okay. The lower, the better. Okay. So this guy, we're going to call him B, is looking to buy. Why? Because he wants to fix it, put some work into it, make it look pretty. Give it some curb appeal, right? Do whatever, change the carpeting, change the roof if you need, change whatever needs repair, and give it like a very good facelift. And he wants to put it back on the market for $100,000, and then he makes money by selling that house. So he wants to do that. So we have the B guy, okay? He already does that with some houses already. He does that, or maybe he's a newbie, or maybe he's starting to do that for the first time. So he buys a house for $70,000. He puts some work into it, right? And then he said it puts like $2,000 of work into it. So now his cost is up to $72,000, right? And then he had $3,000 worth of closing costs. So his cost is up to $75,000. Remember, $70,000, the cost of acquisition, $2,000 to repair the countertop or something like that, $3,000 closing cost. So his cost is up to $75,000. He lists it back on the market for sale and he sells it for the true value of the property, which is $100,000. So the guy just made how much? Remember, he spent 75. He sold it for $100,000. He just made $25,000, right? $25,000, 25% on his money. He did it all within 1 month. Okay, and he wants to do that over and over and over again, and that's how he feeds his family. So he needs the money, $75,000. That money, $75,000 to buy, to close, and all that stuff doesn't have to come from him. He just needs to be able to come up with the money. Okay, and a lot of people with a close mind will say, "Well, I don't have $75,000." Well, if you knew that every time you spend $75,000, you make $100,000, you make $25,000 in profit. Wouldn't you do whatever it takes to find the money? Yes, exactly. There's a ton of people out there like that. So that's B guy, right? Now, I'm not the B guy. I participated out of all 40 plus deals that I've done. I did that twice, meaning I actually put in the work. It took some time, then I flipped it, right? That means I did the rehabilitation work of the house. Okay. Now, there's an A guy over here. Okay. And that's the guy who has a house that he doesn't want. He needs to get rid of it. Okay. He bought the house and he's in trouble. Like, he bought the house for $250,000. And then the market tanked and the property is only worth $100,000 now. Now, on top of that, the house is damaged. It needs some work. The Section 8 tenants. Tenants have damaged the house. A bunch of crackheads on the street already run into the house and stole a bunch of pipes out, right? The house needs $2,000 to fix, right? He doesn't want to spend the $2,000 to fix. He just needs to get rid of it, right? So what I did, remember, he bought it for $250. So what I did is essentially I went in there. I said, "Oh, you owe $250,000 on this house? Okay. Where's your bank?" "My bank is Wells Fargo." "Okay, let me talk to Wells Fargo. Just sign this paperwork authorizing me to talk to Wells Fargo." He told me, "I just need to get rid of this house. I don't want this house. I don't want to deal with this piece of crap. I need to get rid of this from my books." I said, "Don't worry, I got you. You just want to walk away and you don't want to deal with this house, right?" "Yes, and I don't want to owe any money too." "You don't want to owe any money? Let's see if we can figure that out." So what I did is that I got the authorization. Right, I knew that I couldn't purchase the house for more than I need to be below 65% of the value, not of how much he paid. He paid 250, but the property is only worth $100,000. So I have to prove that to the bank. The bank has data; they can order somebody to go check the value of the property. Right. So what I did is that I took authorization of release. That means he legally allows the bank to talk to me, okay? And also, I put the house under contract for sale for $60,000. Okay, $60,000. Now, typically my rule is 65%, which means I could still pay up to $65,000. But you know, the bank may come back and want to negotiate, right? So I just put in an offer of $60,000. That way, if they want me to pay a little bit more, maybe I'm up to 65, right? So what I did is that I took all that, I packaged it together, and I called the bank, and the bank says, yes, we have a program called short sale. Okay, it's called short sale. The bank pretty much allows the homeowner to walk away as long as they're selling the property. They're not allowing them to walk away with the property and then owing money. If they're selling the property and the bank allows them to walk away as long as the property is sold for the market value. Okay, as long as the property is sold for market value. So remember, the property needs some work, $2,000. The property is only worth after repair, it's only worth $100,000. The bank is not in the business of repairing houses, okay? They're in the business of flipping money, okay? They put out money so you can go buy a house, and then they make money when you make your mortgage payment every month. But here's the problem. This guy has stopped making payment because the house has been vacant, and because he couldn't really afford to pay for it. So now, not only is it not paying and it's delinquent, but the bank has what you call a non-performing asset on their books. A non-performing asset, meaning we put out this money, $250,000, and no money is coming in. Well, that's a loss, okay? That means they're losing money, okay? They don't care about that $250,000 anymore. They care about the money that's coming in every month, no matter what that is. Maybe $2,500, $2,400, whatever that payment is, has stopped coming in. So this is a loss for the bank. So whatever you have for the bank in that moment in time, because this gentleman has been late for like 5, 6 months now. And this is how I found him, because I am a marketer. Okay. Essentially, there's a list that's published in the public county house in every county in the United States. And it's a list of people that are 3 months or more late on their mortgages. It's called list pendants in New Jersey. Okay. So essentially, I take that list because it's a public record. I take that list and I send them a letter. I say, hey, listen, I'm open to buying your house. Can you sell your house to me? And they typically say, well, I owe $250,000 on the house. Are you sure you want to buy this house? And I say, yes, I want to buy the house. Can you give me authorization to release to talk to your bank and give me a contract to buy this house at the price I want to pay for it? Yeah, sure. If you can get the bank to agree to it, it's called short sale. So essentially, I call the bank, like I was saying, telling a story right now. I'm telling the story of the average story of those 40 deals, right? So, and I called the bank and I said, listen, I'm interested in buying this property, and I'm only want to pay $60,000 for it, and it's only worth $60,000 because it needs repairs. So yes, after repair it's worth $100,000, but because of that $2,000 worth of repair and the me having to worry about that, it's worth $60,000. And these are comparables to back that up. They're good, got so good, right? There's some properties that are actually selling for around that price, $60,000, but as well as around $100,000 too. It all depends on the condition of the property, right? So I presented it, and they said, you know what? Yeah, we'll entertain it. It's called short sales, right? So they entertained my offer, and essentially they said, but we're not just going to take your word by it. So they ordered what they call a BPO, a broker's price opinion. Take some notes. You can watch this video over and over again, right? It's called a broker's price opinion. So this is essentially an over-glorified appraiser or under-glorified appraiser. It's a realtor that the bank ordered themselves. They say, hey, we'll give you $50. Go to this property and give me an exterior, sometimes an interior, and give me the condition of the property and tell me what you think the property is worth. So when they order that, then I meet the person over there. So the person calls me because I become the point of contact. The bank will say, hey, who's going to be the contact when this person is ready to come out? I say, it's me. They call me, I make the arrangement, they open the doors, and I get to see the property for the first time too. Typically, that's how I did it. I was trained to see the property on the appointment on the first time, but after doing this for a while, I eliminated that process. I completely removed the process of going to see the property. This person told me that they owe $250 on $100,000 worth of property. I don't need to see it unless the bank is making a move. Okay, so now the bank is making a move, and they ordered what you call a broker's price opinion, BPO. Write that down, right? And they said, go take a look at this property. The person called me. I went there. I said, hey, This is why I think the property is worth $60,000. Sometimes I'll give them a copy of the comparables, right? That means houses that are sold in recent times, in last 6 months within 1 mile radius, and then I'll give it to them, right? And sometimes it comes out good. Sometimes, they're assholes. Okay. Very few times that the person go back and tell the bank that the property is worth more. But typically I'm using good numbers, real numbers as well too. So they're okay with that. So they go back, they tell the bank, yeah, it's true. This property is worth $60,000. So it took me some work. Sometimes all that work is within 2 weeks. Sometimes that work will last 2 years. It doesn't matter to me because I'm doing it in volume. Okay. I'm as the bank, as I talk to the bank, I check with the bank like that. Okay. It's a process and it's a streamlined process. Okay. So I essentially, where am I? So he goes back to the bank and tell the bank it's worth 60. The bank said, you know what? We'll give you a short sale approval for $60,000. You're allowed to purchase this property at $60,000. Okay. Because the bank did their own homework and they say, yes, this guy owes $250,000, but he stopped making his $2,400 payment. You know what? Let's just give this buyer the house for $60,000. $60,000, a lump sum money, is better than money that's not coming in. Because this money is probably never going to come in. The alternative is that they're going to continue the foreclosure process and then foreclose on him and then try to auction the property at the auction steps at the county house, right? And then they start at 250, and all the investors at the auction house are like, "Are you crazy? That house is only worth $50,000." Okay? Because it's been vandalized. I can't see it. This is my offer. So they're going to get a lot less plus this time that has lapsed. Right? This time that has lapsed, and time is what? A lot more valuable than money. Not the same thing as money, a lot more valuable than money. So the bank, because they're in the business of flipping money, they'd rather take what they can get right now. And that's my money, $60,000. And then I put the house under contract for $60,000. They just approved it. Then what I did is that, remember that guy on the side A that's always looking to buy a property at 70%, 75%? Then I turn around and I say, hey, listen, I got an approver. Here's the property, is good to go. Give me 70 grand. He gives me 70 grand. I keep 10 grand. I pay the bank 60 grand, right? And like that. Okay. So everything I just explained to you, I don't know, in about 15, 16 minutes is just like one sheet of paper or checklist. Okay. That's all it is. I actually have a course called the RE Flip Coach. The only way to access it is it's actually a bonus. When you become a member here, the only way is you go through the book, myempirepro.com, download the free book, become a member on the inside. Whatever that costs is absolutely worth it because I broke this down in step by step. I also gave my document away, like my contracts and things like that. You will see on the inside once you become a fully active member of Empire Traffic Academy, if you decide to do that. But besides that, the book is a beautiful book. On marketing, because essentially all of this that I just explained to you are meaningless if you don't know how to find the A guy, who's probably going through divorce. So that's not the only scenario. It's not only people in pre-foreclosure or people that owe too much money. Sometimes these people owe no money. They inherited the house free and clear, but they don't want the house. The house is like 50 states across the country, and they don't care for that house. That house was built 50 years ago. They don't care for it. They just want to sell it and get rid of it. And sometimes they're selling it for 50 cents, 40 cents on the dollar. And you knowing how to do one thing is how you're going to find deals like this. It's called marketing. Your responsibility at the end of the day is marketing. It's getting the phones to ring. That's your responsibility. It's either you're calling people or you're getting people to call you. My preference is I like when people call me. But I also, sometimes here I get into cold calling and start calling people just because, I enjoy talking to people in front of you, right? But honestly, I prefer getting people to call me. And if you want to learn how to market online, especially, and start getting people to call you, and no matter what type of business, by the way, not just real estate wholesaling, not just real estate investing, not just as a real estate broker, you want people to be calling, you want to learn how to market, direct response marketing style, attraction marketing style, then you definitely got to pick up the book, My Empire Pro. com is where you go. The name of the book is called Empire Lifestyle Secrets, because essentially what you would like to do is sit back and your phone just ring because you learn some few skills here and there on how to set up campaigns and how to get people calling you. You attract the deals. It's just a better position to be in. It's a better position to be in when people call you than when you call people. But even if you want to call people, there are ways that you can flip the script on them and they start feeling like they're the one that called you. Okay, that's all part of the heart and the sciences of attraction marketing that you learn on the inside. Okay, and all of that is in the book. It's free and it's called Empire Lifestyle Secrets. All right, so this guy A wants to sell a house discount. This guy wants to buy a house discount. I'm the marketing guy in the middle. I facilitate that process. And for every $100,000 worth of value in the property, I collect 10 grand every time I make that happen. And I can do that literally cost effectively. So if I'm using paid advertising, it costs me some money to market, but it doesn't cost me a big capital to buy a house, to make money from buying a house. There's a lot of people that bought a house, held onto it, right? They held onto it for 5 years and they only make 10 grand. I didn't even own this house, really. I just had what you call an equitable interest, okay? I had a right or what you call an equitable interest in the property by putting the house under contract at a certain price. It gives me the option to purchase the property, and I sell the rights, that option, to other people for 10 grand. If it's $200,000 house, I try to go for 20 grand. It could be less, it could be more, it could be anything in between. It could be lower, okay? My lowest I've ever made on a deal is about, I think there may be one time I made $2,000, but the lowest I can really remember is $5,000. The highest I remember is $82,000. Okay, so it could be more. It's just depending on how sweet, how good the deal is. There's kind of a lot of in-betweens, but that's the heart and the science right there. Everything I just shared with you is the basics of how to do it. And it's actually very, very simple, and it gets simpler as you engage yourself in the game. But here's where most people make mistakes. Most people are trying to look for the right contract to use, the right lawyer to use, the right this, what if that, what if that. All of that is none of your business, okay? It's called none of your, none of your business, okay? Your responsibility is one thing, and it's finding and identifying deals. There are lawyers, there are closing agents, there are professionals to worry about all those other headaches. Your job is to find deals. There's a deal right now sitting on the corner of your street by your house. And if you don't know how to identify and learn how to identify those deals and find those deals, you will still sit down there and be complaining and be saying, hey, what if that? This doesn't work. This doesn't work. That's because you're complicated. You have a complicated brain like most human beings, and you need to tone it down, okay? Really keep it simple. Your responsibility in everything I just shared with you, okay? You don't even have to worry about talking to the bank, because talking to the bank is as simple as saying, hey, I have this property here. It's only worth 60 grand, and that's all I want to pay. That's all you have to tell them. And they'll tell you, okay, we're going to fax you all the paperwork to fill out and send it back to us. You don't have to overthink this stuff, okay? It's as simple as just understand the concept, okay? But before you understand the full-blown concept, understand this concept. Your responsibility is marketing. Find and identify good deals. That means deals that are 65% of the actual after repair value, that's ARV, after repair value, minus the cost of repair. So, the, like for example, in the case I presented to you earlier, that would be $2,000 repair, $65,000 minus $2,000. The cost, how much I actually want to pay is $63,000. But of course, for the sake of leaving room for negotiation, I'm going to throw them $50,000. They're going to be like, nah, that can't happen. You know what? If you have all cash, $55,000, I put it under contract right now. Again, you got to use, you know, you got to use your street smart level here right now. It's not always going to be written in stone. But again, the more you engage in the game, the more you learn. Now, this is the rules when it comes to real estate wholesaling, real estate investing, whatever. You know, I'm just giving details of that. But again, really, your responsibility is marketing. The one thing you need to master is marketing and prospecting, how to talk to people, how to put out campaigns that get people calling you. That's all you have to worry about. If you do that, people, for every people that call you, there are people out there willing to pay you $50 for every qualified prospect that calls you. There are companies and businesses out there that are willing to pay you $1,000 for every qualified prospect that calls or that responds to a marketing piece. So that leaves us one thing. There's only one thing you need to learn, and that's marketing. That's it. Just learn marketing. Okay, learn marketing. It doesn't matter if you're on a job. If you're on a day job, 9-to-5 job, you still need to learn marketing because you need to learn how to get those resumes out there and how to sell them and how to get people calling you. It's the skills that we all need to learn, marketing and sales, marketing and sales. We all need to learn it. And how I do it in this digital age, attraction marketing age, is everything I put into that 200 pages book. It has typos in it, but it's a beautiful part of the book. The fact that there's typographical errors in the book, it's raw. That's what it means. And I pour my heart into it, and you need to go download it right now. It's myempirepro.com. And besides that, if you like this type of videos and you want to get messages like this from time to time, all you have to do is click subscribe below and make sure you click the bell right next to it so you can become part of the notification squad. And also make sure you give me a thumbs up if you like this video. Okay. Share it for me if you know people that will love this kind of content and will enjoy it. Just share it on your wall. I will really, really appreciate that. And if you have any questions, contributions, addition, anything like that, I want you to hide it into the comment box below. So with that being said, let me see if I can answer some few questions. You and I, we're going to go into YouTube land right now. So I'm actually going to search for flipping houses for dummies and see what video comes up and see if there's any questions in the comment boxes over there. And then we'll take it from there. Okay. So bear with me real quick here. We're going to go to youtube.com. Okay. Let me switch screen so you can see my screen. All right. All right. All right. YouTube.com. Let's share that. All right. And you can see that I'm live right there. So anybody can watch me. That's, I'm live. I'm recording this live with you. All right. Recommending me to myself. Ain't that sweet? So here we're going to search. I'm actually just going to copy this. Highlight that. Control plus C. And we'll copy paste. And we're going to go take a look at the videos that are here. So this is a video on flipping houses for dummy. So I'm going to go here, okay? And we're going to see if there's any questions that we can answer. You and I will see if there's any other question. All right. This is a gentleman who has another video up here, Freedom Real Estate Investing, okay? All right. So please subscribe below. Thank you very much for doing that. Let's see if we can get the comment loading. Comments, come on, comments. All right, so here we go. So let's see, we're going to see if there's any questions here. Hello, I've been watching your videos for 6 days now, so that's not to me, that's to this gentleman, but let's see if we can answer some of the questions. 6 days now, and I'm continuing to all of them. Learning every day. Your videos are full of great information. I'm watching you teach us great. I'm looking forward to joining soon. My plans are for approximately, I will join the apprentice program and learn step by step what I already am learning. Let's see if there's a question there. But I absolutely need a change in my life. Okay, thanks for patience. Okay, it's just confessing, I guess. How do you know what the bottom is and how far below you should go without being ridiculous? All right, so that's when you put an offer on a property. That's what this person is talking about. So essentially, when you put a property, when you give an offer, it doesn't matter. Again, you're not looking at pretty houses, okay? You're pretty transparent with these sellers, by the way. Remember that A guy, the guy that's trying to sell? He could be selling because he's going through divorce. He could be selling because he inherited a house that he doesn't really want. He could be selling because he's facing foreclosure right now. He could be selling because he needs to clear his books. You know, there's a gentleman that just called 2 days ago here that just, he's doing rehabs. He doesn't want this rental property on his books. He just needs to get rid of it so he can move on. He's owing $220,000. He wants $220,000 for it. He doesn't want any money. He just want to pay for the mortgage and go away. Property is worth about $300,000, maybe $280,000. So we're trying to see what we can work out there. It's not typically the 65% scenario, but we could come up with creative ways to still do a deal with him. But the bottom line here, this person's saying what the bottom is. The bottom is your formula. Okay, you calculate your number and say this is your offer. That's it. And it's either a yes or no. And that's why you're putting multiple offers out there. That's why you want to put out 3 to 5 offers per day. However way you want to figure out how to do that, again, that's called marketing. You market and people respond to you. You give them 3 to 5 offers per day. And that's typically where you want to be at. Now, as far as you worrying about if it's ridiculously low offer or anything like that, don't worry about that. Let them tell you that's a ridiculously low offer. And all you have to do is be transparent and say, listen, I'm an investor. I'm looking to repair the house so I can make some profit for it. People, you'll be shocked. People have no problem they have zero problem with you making profit from you getting rid of a house for them, okay? They don't have a problem with that. Most people don't, okay? If anybody have a problem with that, you don't need to be doing business with that kind of person anyway. And the chances are they're going to lose all their life savings on the house anyway into foreclosure. So you don't have to worry about that. That's why you have options, okay? And that should show in your posture as well too. If people see that you're not sure of yourself, they're gonna say you're giving them ridiculously low offer. And it's not about how good you are. Some people are just negative and bitter like that. And again, it's not really your responsibility to worry if it's ridiculous. Your numbers are your numbers. Your formulas are your formulas. The formula is 65% of the after repair value minus the repair cost. That's your first offer. If somebody says, I really want to get rid of it, but I can't, like this gentleman said, he doesn't want to mess with short sales because he doesn't want to mess up his credit. Then we looked at the number. We see that the property is a multi-unit investment, and somebody who purchases it can cash flow. So we're looking to sell it, to flip it. He's open to us flipping it. So you're going to create relationships as well too, and don't be too rigid about yourself. Just give your offer and let them tell you if it's no or yay or nay. You will come up with multiple different creative ways to do deals as you go along in the game, okay? So to answer this question, how far below? How far below is 65% minus repair cost and maybe minus a little buffer to leave room for negotiation, and let them say no before you worry about that, okay? A fair profit will be, here's the next question. A fair profit will be a full return on investment because you got it below market value and you sent the home to auction. Okay, that's not a question. Let's see if there's any other question here. Question here, do I need a license to get started? No, you don't. However, if you start becoming a full-time, you start making some money, I recommend that you go do the exam, learn the real estate law, and get a license. It gives you a lot of edge above everybody else, okay? And I'm from the school of anything you can do to give yourself an edge over the rest of the market, always do that because, you know, you are the cream. You need to rise all the way to the top, and it gives you access to the market. You have an edge. You can see what's going on. And the only requirement of you when you're investing in real estate or you're wholesaling or you're doing creative real estate investing, the only requirement of you by the government is full disclosure. No cheating, no stealing, no lying, and just tell people what you're up to, and people are always okay with you making a profit, no matter how big the profit is. Now, of course, there are ways to protect yourself. Some people are greedy, and they see how much you're making, and they go crazy. There are ways to protect that once you come all the way inside as well to learn how to do that, okay? All right, so here it says, I'm very interested in learning more about your buying formula. Have you made a video regarding this? Well, I have for me. I don't know about this gentleman, but go through that. But let's go through more generic question. How long does this training last? I'm not worried about that. We're looking for more generic question. Hey, a real estate license is not necessary for buying this property, but it is for looking for these deals. That's not a true statement. You can look up deals and you can find deals on the public record. However, to look up comparables and to have proper pulse on what's going on in the market, it's a good plus. Okay. It's a good plus. Okay. Somebody said, do I need a college education to flip houses? That's a no. How and where do you buy properties below bottom? Again, okay, that's a good question. The kind of properties you're looking for are what you call distressed homeowners, distressed properties, motivated sellers. Those three formulas right there. Distressed homeowners, meaning somebody that absolutely need to get rid of the property. A distressed property, properties that need repairs, property, ugly houses, things that you can add some value to. A pretty house, a person that has a pretty house typically will not want to give you the property at 65% below its value, okay? Or 35% below its value. They typically won't want to do that. So, but more importantly, you're looking for motivated sellers. You're looking for a motivated seller, a person that has a reason to get rid of a property now. They're not looking to sell. They need to get rid of this property now. Okay, a person that's looking to sell will go to a realtor and list the house on the market for 100 days. They have the time. They're not desperate. Literally, a motivated seller is desperate. They need to get rid of the house because they have other situation in their lives that makes them want to get rid of the property. So we're going to look at the comment areas of the top three videos, and then we'll call it a day. This is Dave Ramson's video. Dave knows what he's talking about a lot. Some people don't like him. There are certain philosophies that's not designed for people That's not designed for people that want to build a fast business. Okay, that means people that want to build wealth. There's certain philosophies, but if you're just looking to save money and be financially responsible, Dave is your guy. So, but he, obviously, he talks about these things here. Let's see if there's a question here. I'm sure there's a question somewhere. I'm looking for question mark. Question mark. Question mark. Okay, so when you write up a contract to buy a house, you only have like a week or so to find someone else to buy it. You have, honestly, I've taken way more than a week. Like, for example, the example I gave you, short sales, it's not me that's taking longer. Sometimes their bank takes a while to respond to me. I've done short sales, which is a wholesale or getting a house under contract, a house that's underwater. Underwater means they owe more than what the property is worth, right? The bank takes time, so the homeowner understands that. So that's typically not a problem. Also, if there's equity in the property, that means they owe way less than the property is worth. That means we can make some money from that without dealing with the bank, right? Even in that scenario, they understand that nobody's enforcing the 7 days, okay? If you capture a very good deal, like you put it under, you capture a very good option to buy the property at a really good deal, you really don't need no more than 7 days. Okay. Let's say you capture the property at 55% of its after repair value, and it only needs $1,000, $2,000, less than $10,000 in repairs, right? You could flip that property like that in 2 days and they can close in a few days if title is clear. And if you couldn't, it could be because of reasons like title is not clear. If it's because nobody wants the property, then you need to go back to the table and renegotiate your deal. It simply means your deal is not good. And when your deal is not good enough, okay? Let me say good enough, okay? So when it comes to cash buyers, if it's 50% on the dollar house you found, you should, if you're part of a local real estate association, which you should be, local real estate investment association is called a REIA, REIA, right? If you're a part of that, you should be able to find somebody to pick that property off from you if it's a good deal, okay? Now, there's some deals that are not good deal, but you can still make it work. But even in that case, you just have to be honest with the homeowner and say you need some more time because the value that you thought it was is coming back a little bit, but you're obligated to, like, you have interest in making sure that it works out for them because typically they just want to get rid of the property and they're invested. If you're a likable person, which we can teach you how to do that, right? How to become a likable person. You're coming to the table with solution. They typically are very open to hearing you honestly and say, yeah, okay, just let us know how things are going. Unless there's what do you call it? Unless there's a foreclosure auction around the corner, and in that sense, then you really should be dealing with the bank that they owe money to extend the time. Okay, so this is a non-issue to say the least. Okay, the fact that you have only 1 week, can you get more time? Is really a non-issue if you're showing up as a solution provider, as a problem solver. Okay, let's see here. Let's see what goes on here. Let's see. There's more the question. So this part's a long one right here. I understand and not wanting to be in debt, but there are many options a person can take to cover themselves and their personal finances to start flipping houses. People are saying that he isn't in a position to flip a house because he only makes $30,000. So the story in this video, I remember this video. I've actually seen it. This guy makes $30,000 a year and he wants to start flipping a house. And some people are insinuating that he has no business flipping a house. That's not true because he doesn't need his own money. A person that makes $30,000 a year probably has a lot more time in his hands that he needs that he can invest in finding and identifying good deals. And that's really what he's making money from. He doesn't have to invest his own cash. He doesn't even need a good credit. He just needs to learn how to identify and find good deals. And that could be just cold calling. If you don't have money to send mailings, direct mailing, and spend money on Facebook advertising, you could start calling people, because the list of people to call is public records, and you can have access to those lists for people that will find their phone numbers for you for as low as $40 a month. I mean, like very, very cheap. The only thing between this kind of guy and the deals are just desire, okay? Just desire. All right, so let me see here. How much money should I have saved up? I plan on paying my truck off. Well, that has nothing to do with wholesaling. So a lot of these videos on Dave Ramsey, and it's not really about flipping houses. I'm going to look here. So flipping houses for dummy, I'm already ranking here. So this is part of stuff you will learn, okay? ranking on the first page as I'm actually doing this live. Okay. But let me look at this gentleman right here. See if there's any question below his video, right?
Hey, Jerry Norton here. Welcome back. And we have the Thundercats. And I was really excited to find this t-shirt.
Boss, man. All right. So let's see if there's any videos down there. Any comments, rather. Let's see here. Okay, so this guy has 13,000 views, no likes, dislikes. What does that tell you? Chances are these are all fake views, okay? And that's okay. You know, some people do whatever works for them. And the comments are way lower than, you know, 13,000. Also, it could be an ad. If you run an ad on this and it was showing us a pre-roll video, it's possible as well, too. But bottom line is that it's not organic views. Let's see. Essence, the E-Meet. What about foreclosed properties? Okay. Are they good to fix or flip? Foreclosed properties. Yeah, actually, it's a good question. I'm going to make this the last question here. What about foreclosed properties? Are they good fix to flip? Foreclosed properties are typically houses that nobody picked up at the auction, and the bank bought it back themselves. Okay, so the bank say, hey, you owe me 250. Remember that example I gave? The bank says, you owe me 250. We foreclosed on you. Well, who wants this house for 250? Everybody say, crickets. Nobody wants that house for 250. It's only worth $100,000. So the bank bought it back themselves. They bought it back. It sounds weird, but that's exactly what they do. They bought it back the property. And then they now called. Remember that gentleman that they would have called if I had gotten a hold of this house earlier? They called that guy, the BPO guy, the realtor, to evaluate the property. And they say, yeah, sorry, this property is only worth $60,000. And now the BPO guy sees that this repair is, you know, say, yeah, he told the bank because the bank trusts his words and say, yeah, it's only worth $60,000. Then he lists on the market for the bank. It's called an REO at this point, REO, real estate owned. Some people call it bank owned, okay, bank owned properties. That's a foreclosed property. So you could, if you have the only difference between that and dealing directly with the homeowners before it's foreclosed on. So the example I gave you earlier with short sale is pre-foreclosure. The foreclosed home is done. They've spent way too much time and the bank has taken back the property, right? In that scenario, in most cases, a realtor will want you to put earnest deposit money of $1,000 down. They want you to show a proof of funds or some kind of pre-qualification that you can qualify for the rest of the money to purchase from the bank, right? And then an offer, right? So the problem with that is that if you put 3-5 offers out per day, that's $3,000-$5,000 you will have out there. That's not realistic for a beginner, okay? If you're well established in the business, chances are you have relationship with realtors that will not ask you for the earnest deposit money for $1,000, okay? But in that case, that's not applicable to you. But if you are new in the business, I strongly suggest not to float money all over the place like that. I strongly suggest to use your time and go after properties that's not yet foreclosed. That means you can deal with the homeowner. And even if the homeowner is asking you for earnest deposit money, you can give them $10 in cash to put the house under contract. I've never done it. I've never had to put down any money before. I just get the contract and then I go to work to find them a buyer or to buy the property myself. If that's what I wanted to do, there's only two times I had to do that with a partner. Okay. So yes. Are they good fix to flip? Yes. Just if you were talking about foreclosed property at the auction, you got to be careful because this property is, if you don't know this property, you should not be putting offers on properties that you don't know, that nobody was going to open a door for you and see the condition before you put offers on it. You should not be doing that. Okay. I definitely don't recommend that. But some people are good and they're savvy in the business that they do exactly that. There's nothing wrong with that if you know what you're doing. Okay. So that's my advice when it comes down to there are three stages, pre-foreclosure, at the auction and already foreclosed properties, which is called real estate owned properties. And that's not what we want. So again, like I said, how do you find the sweet spot is really pre-foreclosures is really when the owner is still owning the property. When somebody still own the property, they own a property that they don't want. They want to get rid of it. You're dealing direct with the homeowners. How do you get this kind of people to call you? Okay, that's something I cover extensively in the book again. So just go to myempirepro.com or you can click on the link in the description box below. And then you'll learn everything about how to do that. Hopefully, you've been enlightened and educated. Click like, share, comment below, subscribe below. I would like to hear your take on this stuff. Share this video with everybody. I will see you on the inside and peace.